We are in our summer series of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. For those of you who have been with us for a while on this journey, I hope you're not getting tired of the book yet. We still got a ways to go. But this summer, myself and Travis Sears will be dealing with chapter 11 and looking specifically at the number of people and the stories of those who are given to us as witnesses and testimonies that we are to look at and to be able to live our lives by faith and be encouraged because of the lives that they lived. In chapter 10, we find the context of this book or this portion of the book in that the writer of Hebrews is encouraging the Christians who are going through a difficult time. He's reminding them to think back during a difficult time in their lives when they were being persecuted, their stuff was being taken, they were being mistreated, and yet they saw that the things of this world were minor in comparison to the promises that they had from God. And so he encourages them to endure. And he encourages them to not give up meeting together, not give up this coming together to encourage one another and help one another through those difficult times. Because he says that's the endurance that you need, is you need to help each other through these difficult trials of life because they come. And it's the body of Christ working together and pointing each other to the promises of God that help you to get through that so that you can become the people that God wants you to be. If you've lived any amount of time beyond a couple of years, then you come to understand that there are difficult times in life. Amen. And as we process those times, we need to have an understanding of what our faith is and what our faith is placed in. Because if we don't have a firm grasp of understanding our faith in those difficult times, then we're going to succumb to these problems and trials that we face in life. And so as the Hebrews writer says these words, as we jump into chapter 11, he says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen." It's not a blind faith, it's a conviction of things that we can't see, but yet we know from the evidence of what we do know and recognize. He goes on in verse 6 to say, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So as we continue to dig into these stories and we look at the idea of what faith means, we're reminded that this whole idea is, when we see what we cannot see, that is, when we have the faith to believe and to know that God is at work, even though we can't see it or experience it in the moment, then we can have the faith to endure these difficult trials. And so, according to Hebrews chapter 11, the definition of faith is, biblical faith is confident trust in God's promises that produces endurance in doing God's will until the reward comes. You know, with everything we go through, if there is the promise of a reward at the end, it's a lot easier to endure, isn't it? And so when we have the hope and the promise that God gives to us about our future, whether that's our inheritance, our time in heaven, our time of eternity with Him, the hope of the new kingdom that will come, the hope of how the treasures that we've built up in heaven will be experienced in the future. And everything will make this world seem pale in comparison. Father God, I pray this morning, Lord, as we come to your word, that you would just allow your word to penetrate our hearts and our minds. Lord, help us to move past the distractions of this world and the things that are happening throughout our day-to-day activities. And this morning I pray that you would just help us to come to you to see what you have for us in this morning's message. Lord, may my mind be clear, my speech be clear, so that your word can go forth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This morning we're going to be looking at verse 3. Now, we've built this series up of talking about all the people that we're going to be looking at, but this morning we're not going to be looking at a person. We're going to be looking at the foundation that each of these people stood on. As I was preparing the messages that I'm going to be doing throughout this series, at first I was just tempted to just skip over this one. It seems kind of like no big deal, kind of a baseline message. I was anxious to get into the stories of the people. But as I started thinking more and more, the reality of all the people that we're going to be talking about over the coming months, the reality of why they had faith is based on verse 3. This lays the foundation for everything that gave them the ability to be able to go forth. And so if it's true for them, then I thought, it's got to be true for us. I can't just gloss over this. We need to hit this as a foundational understanding of what God is doing. So turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. If you're there already, then I'm not hearing pages rustle, so I'm assuming everybody's there. But if you're not, I'm going to encourage you to turn there because I want you to underline and make a couple of notes in your Bible this morning. So in Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, by faith, men of old, verse 2, men of old gained approval. Now what is it this whole idea of faith is for? Remember we talked about in verse 6, we read that faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we're not living our lives by faith, we don't please Him. And verse 2 tells us that all these men, they gained approval by their faith. And verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. That's where we're going to be spending our time this morning is on verse 3. We're going to unpack a couple of things about it real quick and then look at a few applications as to how it makes a difference in our lives that we live here every day. So the first thing I want you to understand is that the foundation of faith to believe is creation. Now, many of you have been bombarded with a number of different worldviews about creation. And I bet if we were to go person to person around this room and everybody would write down your theological or your worldview position on creation, I would be willing to bet that we would not all be on the same page. I'd be willing to bet that we have different views. There's different ideas that we have all been exposed to. And so I realize this morning as I bring this message, my goal is not to make you subscribe to one view or another. My goal is to make you look at the Scriptures and just see what the Scripture says and to see your response to this issue is foundational to your faith and your understanding about everything else about God. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to give me a listening ear, to give me an open mind, to give me grace if you don't agree with anything that I say. But I want the Scriptures to speak this morning. So the first thing that we're going to see about faith or about understanding creation to be the foundation of our faith to believe. He says this in verse 3, he says, by faith we understand. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared. I want you to think about that for just a second. This idea that by faith we understand. See, some people think that faith is blind. Some people think that faith is just hoping for something that isn't evidenced or proven. But what the Bible says is that by faith we can understand the created world. Okay. Now this idea of understand, it is the Greek word naeo, which means to perceive or to think or to consider. It is an intellectual process. It's not a blind hope. It is, I've looked at the evidence. I've looked at what can't be clearly understood. I wasn't at creation. Was anybody there the day that God created the heavens and the earth? I have yet to met a person who was. Okay, I've met some old people. But none of you, none of us were there. All we have is just the evidence that remains. And so what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that when we look at that evidence, we can understand, we can perceive, we can intellectually think about this, and we can figure out that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. You see, this is an intellectual exercise. Through my years of Bible college and seminary, I've taken a number of apologetics classes. I've read a number of books through the years. But here, last month, my family was able to go on vacation, and thank you for allowing us that time away. We got away for about 4 days. Took a quick trip up to Kentucky, where we were able to go to the Creation Museum and to the Ark. And so, as we spent that first day going through the Creation Museum, I wasn't sure what to expect. We knew from what we'd heard that you better prepare to spend some time, and there's a lot of reading and a lot of things to experience. And so we head into this experience, and one of the signs that I saw early on had this point. It is that all of the evidence of creation is shared by everybody who has a worldview. The difference is the starting point. The difference is the starting point of where you start to interpret that data. So when you take, as some of the evidence down here, you take a rock, or you take plants, or you take the continents, you take the universe. Everybody, whether they are hardcore science or whether they are hardcore creationists, everybody has the exact same evidence. Nobody has anything that the other person doesn't have. It's all the same. The question is, if that's the case, why do we reach different conclusions? Why is naturalistic evolution and biblical creation on totally different understandings of what's going on? Well, in simple terms, it is this. I don't have my other picture I was going to put in there. Put the wrong one in the second time. In simple terms, it's this. Humanistic evolution looks at the evidence and says, how can we explain what's going on without explaining that there's a God, or without considering there's a God? And the creationist looks at the evidence and says, how do we explain what's going on in view of God being the creator? And so when you start at those two points, looking at the evidence, you come out with two totally different conclusions. And so for the Christian, we have to answer this question. If you say that you believe in God, you say you believe in the Bible, we have to start by saying, what does the Bible say about this? And how does it affect my faith? And what should be the right understanding of scientific data and scientific information? Is it worthless? Do I throw it out? Or is it beneficial? Well, we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But the thing that I want us to recognize first is that this is an intellectual exercise. And secondly, the foundation of faith to believe is based in God's Word. Being a creationist, whatever model of creationist you view, whether that's a young earth of 6,000 to 10,000 years or whatever, everything that we believe needs to be based on the Word of God. And so I'm going to ask you this morning to challenge some of your own thoughts on where you might land in some of these categories. But the foundation to believe is understanding that this is based on God's Word. So what does God's Word say? By faith, we can intellectually understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. Think about that for just a moment. Now, this word worlds, we often think of this word as the earth, planet earth. This is talking about the whole system of the universe, the whole system of planets and life and time. It's an all-inclusive. All of this, the world, all this that we see were prepared by the Word of God. That is that God made it happen. So that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So, what are we seeing? There's a theological term. It's a Latin word called ex nihilo. Anybody heard of that term? Okay, that means it's that God created this out of nothing. I love like creative people. I saw some woodwork that some of our high school students in Inman did this year, and I was like, that's pretty cool. The high school kid has that ability. But when you compare that to a master craftsman, and you look at a design or a project by a master craftsman, whether it's woodworking or metalworking or some other art, you just get fascinated by how amazingly talented they are. And as amazingly talented, and some of you in here have that, Louise Hutchinson has some beautiful paintings. And you look at that and you say, that's just absolutely beautiful. But all of the created things that we have done, whether it's building homes, whether it's doing craft projects or paintings or whatever it is, all of that has been done with matter that already exists. We use the creative image within us that God has created with us to take what He has given, and we shape it and form it and color it and do whatever we need to do to create it into this piece of art or this work of craftsmanship. But it's all done out of stuff that already existed. According to the Bible, the worlds came, the system of everything that we see came into existence spoken by the Word of God. It didn't already exist. It wasn't here for millions or billions of years and God took and formed it and created life with it. There was no, according to the Word of God, there was no big bang of stuff that appeared, but it was spoken out of God's Word. Now you can say that would have been a big bang when God spoke all this into Word, into existence. But the Bible teaches us that God is the one who created the worlds out of nothing. He spoke it by the Word of God into existence. And so, as He speaks this into existence, what does this reveal about Him? Well, to me, it explains to me that His Word has a lot of authority. His Word has a lot of authority. So if God is able to speak the world into existence out of His voice and out of the power and authority of what He says, what does that mean for us? So we're gonna unpack a few things here that are important for us to consider as we look at this idea of creation. Now, some people say, well, the creation is only talked about in the book of Genesis, and whether or not you believe Genesis 1 through 6 is or 1 through 3, if you're talking specifically about creation, but so many people throw out Genesis 1 through 6, it's allegory, it's whatever you want it to be. Creation is spoken about all throughout the Scriptures. And creation is spoken all throughout the Scriptures. Always talks about God creating this, about God speaking into existence, about God being the one that has the power and the authority to do so. And we don't have time. I was going to make a list of some of the verses, but I got to be too long and tedious. I didn't have time, so I stopped. But here's the thing. All throughout Scripture, God speaks. His Word speaks. The prophets speak. The evangelists speak about how God has created all of this. What's it mean to us? Why is this important as believers for us to be able to understand and recognize the importance of having a biblical worldview on this matter? Well, I want to say first of all this. Faith in creation is the foundation of understanding reality. Faith in creation is the foundation of understanding reality. You see, we live in a very scientific age, and I don't by any means want to throw science out, because one of the things that I have learned through the years is that scientific data is important. I rely on it every day. I live my life by the true facts of scientific data, and you do too. Every time you open a door, every time you go up and down stairs, every time you get on an airplane, you are relying on science. So science is important. Data is important. It's the interpretation of data that becomes important for us to understand. Some people have made the argument that as believers we should not listen to or pay attention to any science. Now there's disciplines of science that are lab tested, lab proven, physics, you know, whatever. There's chemistry, so many things that are lab tested that we 100% don't argue. The question is in those areas where there becomes interpretation involved, and what does it mean? Well, it's amazing to me how God continues to reveal himself. You know, 40 years ago, many people thought that science was going to eliminate the need for believing in God. Does anybody remember that? I remember when I was a kid, just some of that thought out there that science is, as science advances, we're going to be able to prove that there is no God, that everything. And so today, we've gone from that, this common assumption that was more science equals less God or less religion, to today, many scientists, they acknowledge that science has answered many how questions. They've come to understand things from the how perspective. But they're not asking, and they're leaving out the why questions. And so they're misunderstanding when they say, why is there something rather than nothing? They're misunderstanding when they ask, when they look at the laws of nature and why are they mathematically perfect? Why is the universe so finely tuned for life? Why does consciousness exist? Why does objective morality seem real? Why does information lie at the heart of life? These are questions where there's data, but the interpretation of that data differs, because science today is still trying to answer that question without God. And the believer can look at those data points and say, how do we see God in this? I want to share just a quick list of a few things. I Googled the question of major scientific discoveries and developments over the last 40 years that have crossed the discussion of faith and science. And so some of these, here's a list starting back in 1987, starting to understand the evidence of the fine-tuning of the universe as cosmology has advanced, as the telescopes and spaceships get further out and stronger and bigger and more powerful. They're starting to discover that there's more and more order, there's more and more clear rules within which the universe works. For the believer who believes the Bible and believes in creation, we can look at that and say, yeah, it's because there's a designer who designed it that way. And why did he do that? Well, he did that for the ultimate purpose of his glory and for us, and for us to look and behold the heavens and declare the glory of God. See, that should be happening every day. As we hear about these new discoveries they find in space, we should be saying, that's awesome. It just shows how big and powerful God is. But the scientist looks at it and says, all this stuff just happened, and it's amazing how the world just keeps kind of recreating as they discover all these new universes and all these new planets and everything. And they're saying, they're recognizing the Earth is unique among all of them. And they're recognizing that there's no other place in the universe that they can discover that can contain life like we have here on Earth. And rather than saying, I wonder why, I wonder what the purpose is, they're saying, well, let's keep finding, let's keep searching, Because out of the hundreds of millions that we've already found, surely there's somewhere out there. And so they just keep on this expanse because they don't want to acknowledge a creator. Discovery of advancements in understanding cellular and molecular complexity. The more they, not only as they go out in space, the more they look at the cells and the makeup of life and human beings and trees and biology, they're just blown away by how they're finding order and everything working, but yet they're not asking that question. They're not digging. They understand the how, but they can't understand or answer the question why. And so as believers, as we consider the advances in artificial intelligence, it's raising new questions about consciousness and intelligence and human uniqueness. There's expanded research in a lot of areas of biology and synthetic biology. They're discovering all sorts of facts, and they're putting things together to say where they can predictably say, this can do this, and we can take this, and we can make this. Our technology is amazing, and yet they're looking at all of it, and they're trying to answer it without understanding who God is or why he is doing what he's done. And for the believer, as we look at the world around us, we need to be able to look and say, yeah, science is awesome. Science just proves without a doubt that there's a creator. But if we don't have that faith to say that God is the one who created all this, then we're not going to understand. So what's it mean in our day-to-day life? Well, if we can establish an understanding that God is the one, then we can understand God's power. I mean, if God can do all this, I'm not going to doubt him about some other things he can do. If God can put all of this together into a created order, I can trust that he's pretty wise. He's got a lot of wisdom. So even though there's circumstances in my life right now that are so I don't understand, they're confusing, I don't get what's going on, I can trust that God has the wisdom that it's all going to be okay. I can trust that God is sovereign. If he can do all this and he can continue to keep all this going and he is sovereign. I love the book of Job, in Job 38, 39, when God is questioning Job, he's saying, where were you when I created all this? Where were you? Do you understand? Do you know how it is that the water can come this far, but then it can't go any further? Do you comprehend that, Job? That's a question God asks. God does, because God's sovereign over that. God's the one, he says in Job, he says, are you the one that tells the deer when to run in the morning? Are you the one that tells the birds when to fly? See, God is sovereign, and he has authority over everything. And so if that's the case, I can rest when I hear about some of the things going on in the world. I can see, you know what? God's got it under control. Yeah, there's a heat wave. It's going to be hot, but it's okay. Yeah, there's things going on in nature all around the world. The planet is at unrest. There's a lot of things happening, but it's okay. God's got it all under control. If he can create all this, he can do this. He keeps his promises. If I trust and believe that he could create, I have to believe his promises that he can raise the dead, his promises that he can save sinners, his promises that he can fulfill the prophecy of what he says is ahead. So faith in creation is the foundation of understanding the reality that we live in. Faith is in creation also sets the baseline for faith in everything else that we read. Listen, if I can't trust what God says about creation, how can I trust what he says about salvation? If I can't trust what God says about how he created the world, how can I trust what God says about the events that are going to unfold in the future? If I can't trust what God says about how he created man in his image and that we are unique and different, then how can I trust God in understanding my feelings and my emotions? You see, if I can't trust God in this, I can't trust God in that. And so if we have faith in creation, we can have faith in salvation, in heaven, in a future kingdom, etc. It gives us faith to understand what we need in our day-to-day lives. Third one here is if we have faith in creation, it testifies to the power of God's word. Faith in creation testifies to the power of God's word. Creation was spoken by what? The word of God. That's what Hebrews says. Creation was spoken by the word of God. God's word has authority. God's word has power. And so if I can trust in the creation by God's word, I can trust God's word in every other area. I can trust the authority of God's word. I can trust the effectiveness of God's word. I can trust the reliability of God's word. It helps me to lay a foundation that recognizes that by faith, what God said he did in the Bible is what he did. And I believe in a young earth, six-day creation, literal 24-hour days, because that's what the Bible says. And if I start questioning that, and if I start listening to scientific reasonings and trying to mesh the two together, you see, the data of scientists has the same data we do, but they try to explain it without God. So therefore, am I going to embrace the worldview that is not trusting the Bible, or am I going to embrace a worldview that trusts the Bible? And as I walked through the Creation Museum with my family here a couple of weeks ago, I came away with this great assurance, and I was re-inspired to trust the promises of God's Word. You know why? Because as I looked through there, they presented the humanistic worldview. They presented, this is what the scientific data says, and this is what the people who interpret that only from a scientific view and remove God from the equation, this is what they say. But when you look at this exact same evidence, and you look at it through a biblical worldview lens, here's how the Bible shows that that is either proof from the Bible, or there is assurance, because this position makes sense. And as I walked through there, most of the stuff throughout my time of ministry training, I had heard before. There was some new stuff I'd never seen, and it was really cool. But it reassured me. And what's faith? Faith is the assurance of things not seen. It reassured me that, hey, we are not out of bounds by recognizing what God says about being the creator. Trusting God's word as it is written and how he speaks it, as I would any other piece of literature, that I consider the grammatical, historical context and the words for what they mean. When I read the Bible that way, it makes sense. I don't have to come up with fanciful explanations for everything. God's word is true. And when I trust in the story of creation, it testifies to that I can trust in everything else, and it testifies to the power of God's word in all areas. And so the power that God spoke into creation is the same power of God's word that rose Lazarus from the grave. If God can create all that, can he raise Lazarus from the grave? Absolutely. If God created all that, and if God's spoken word can raise Lazarus from the grave, can God's spoken word raise me from the grave and reunite me with him in the future at that trumpet call? Yeah, I believe that. Why? Because the evidence that has happened in the past and the evidence and the proof of God's word gives me the confidence that I can trust that what he says to happen is going to happen. And so it gives me confidence in the power of God's word. Faith in creation sees beyond what is visible. I can trust God when I can't see the outcomes. And this is what we get into with the stories of the people that we'll be looking at over the next part of this series. You see, it's easy to believe in the things that are right in front of you. It's easy to believe. if somebody comes up and gives you a $100 bill, says, here, it's a gift, it's yours. You have a tangible $100 bill, you know it has value in front of you. Now you might question, really, you want to give that to me? I'm like, yeah, just it's yours. It's easy to believe that. I can take that $100 bill now and I'm $100 richer. I can go do whatever I need to do with it. It's harder when you can't see it. It's harder when God says, yeah, I have this promise for you. You can't see it physically right now. You may not recognize the value of it right now, but it's my promise. And if you faithfully obey and you trust me, and you believe that what I said is true, one of these days you're going to recognize the value of that. One of these days you're going to recognize what you're receiving from me. And it's going to be for your good. You see, when we go through these difficult times, sometimes it's hard to keep that perspective. But faith in creation helps us to see what is beyond visible. None of us saw creation happen. We only have God's word. And in the same way, a lot of us can't see what our future holds. And so we have to trust God with that. I can trust that God is taking care of the things that I can't see. Because he's always proven from the beginning of time that that's what he does. So number five, faith in creation affects me today. Belief in creation is not merely about how old the earth is. When Don taught through his series on creation in the book of Genesis, you may remember he made the comment that the point of the book of Genesis is not to prove scientific data. It's not to prove a date. It's not to prove how old or young the earth is. It's not to prove anything scientifically. The purpose of the book of Genesis is to point us to God's promises and who God is. So faith in creation affects me today because believing in creation is not merely about how old the earth is or how God created it, but it affects how we view God. It affects how we view his power. It affects how we view his authority. It affects how we view his truthfulness. Sometimes believing God's promises goes back to whether or not we believe that God is telling us the truth. I remember as a young man wrestling with that one. When I first started hearing God saying that his way for marriage is one man and one woman who wait until the marriage bed to have relationships. As a young man, that's a hard saying. It's like, wait, you can't. But when you accept that as truth, you say, how can that be better? Because I have all these feelings and emotions right now. God says, oh no, but wait, they're going to be better. And the world is telling you a different message. But trust me. Trust me. If you do it my way, it's going to be better. I'm the youngest of six kids. I had five siblings. This is an example. Every one of them did not follow God's way. Every one of them ended in divorce at least once. Every one of them ended up miserable at a stage in their life. I wanted something different. So I said, God, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to do it your way. And he's blessed me with that. Trusting God's truthfulness. Trusting God's promises. The believer who trusts God concerning creation learns to trust him in salvation. Learns to trust him concerning prayer, suffering. Do you have a difficult time with your health? Are you trusting God? Trusting God's provision. Trusting in the resurrection. Trusting in eternity. See, here's the reality, is that faith in creation is the foundation of how strong your faith will be when you face difficult trials. That's the book or the message that he is telling them in Hebrews. Remember the context of this. There's difficult times. You need each other. You need faith to endure. And that starts with showing all these people in chapter 11 whose faith was based and built upon trusting God in what he did at creation. And from that, they were able to trust him then in other areas of their lives. And so for us, it is the foundation of how strong your faith will be when you face difficult trials. You see, if you can't trust what God says about how he created the world, then you can't trust him in anything else. There will be gaps, there will be things that you'll wonder. But when you can trust that God made the world in 6 days, like he said, that he is the one that spoke it out of nothing, there's answers to some of the questions. I know science throws some challenging questions, but there's reasonable answers to all of them. I've not yet met one that can't be answered. But when you build your trust on that foundation, then you can trust God in everything else. Faith in creation will determine how strong your faith will be when you face difficult trials. Therefore, I leave you with these final statements. Faith in creation helps me to understand God's power. Faith in creation helps me to understand God's power. When I recognize the power that God has, that he created all of this, I recognize he has the power to do anything else that he chooses. Understanding God's power helps me to trust God's promises. You see, when I have trust in God's power, I can trust his promises because I know he's powerful enough to back up his promises, to uphold what he said is going to happen. He has the power to be able to make it happen. And so faith in creation helps me to understand God's power, and understanding God's power helps me to trust God's promises. And trusting God's promises gives me the endurance to face today's problems. You see, life is full of problems. Some of the problems are our own making. Some of the problems are the natural conditions of the entropy of life. Whether it's our bodies, whether it's our stuff breaks. As I laid under the heat of the Saturday morning sun, changing the starter in the parking lot of scooters of my daughter's car. Ugh. But you know what? God is good. Stuff breaks. It happens. We face problems in this world. Nobody is exempt. Your faith will get you through them. And if you're going through things right now, as some of us are, that you just don't understand, they don't make sense, they're challenging, they bring emotions that you would rather not have, you don't have the answers, you don't have the solution, you can't fix things that you'd like to fix. We have a God who says, trust me, because I'm bigger than all this. Trust me, because I promise you, even though you can't see it today, I'm going to work this out to your good. May not be the answer you're looking for, but I'm going to work it out, because that's who I am. I'm a God who loves you. I'm a God who has, from the beginning of time, created and set things in motion to reveal my glory to you so that you can trust me when life's problems hit. So for the Hebrews, the challenge was this. Life's tough. Let's get together and encourage one another in our faith through these difficult days. Let's not turn our backs on each other. Let's point to the promises of God. And oh, by the way, there's all these people. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, Enoch. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. 37 more verses. By faith, they trusted God. There are examples. How are you living by faith? Next week, Travis is going to take us into some of those people as we jump into the individuals and their stories. As you do that, see the stories of faith and be encouraged and remind one another we can get through this together. Father God, as we close, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you that in spite of a world that is in so many ways fallen apart, in a world that is seeing so much political turmoil, a world that has seen so many broken families, in a world that has seen the destruction of storms, the destruction of war, Lord, in a world where the economy and our concern for how long we can keep going, Lord, those are all real problems that we have to deal with. But Lord, help us to recognize that when we recognize your power as demonstrated in creation, that it'll give us the ability to trust your promises. And when we trust your promises, Lord, we can get through any problems that we might face. We may not see the answer, but we know the one who has it. So, Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.